running short of time, but that was really fascinating. And what we want really is contributions. So, Chris, can we have the lights up, please?
Well, I'm just interested what the LHRH antagonist, what's the liquid metabolic syndrome
yep.
development? Is that a serious consideration?
Yeah, well, that is one of the reasons why the drug is developed on this particular indication. But actually, we don't know if the mechanism. I placed it here as centrally acting drugs, because that is what the drug actually does. But there are also indications in animal models that there is a peripheral effect on the bladder itself, and that has not been characterized, but it makes it interesting to look at this further.
But the problem with the COX inhibitors that I studied, indomethacin and flurbiprofen, is that when they're given in effective doses on the lower urinary tract, they have unacceptable side effects on the gastrointestinal system. So they're not acceptable in clinical practice.
But that was the COX 1 and 2 inhibitors. Mm. There are no systematic trials with the COX 2 inhibitors, which have a much more benign side effect profile and actually the same potential to actually affect the bladder. But I don't think we will see those trials.
No, they're not in anybody's interest at the moment. Other questions and comments from the floor?
All right, could you just expound a bit on the other PDE5 or PDE inhibitors other than 5?
Yeah, vimpocetin, it's a PDE1 inhibitor. It's a very dirty drug. It it's not very selective for and not very potent PDE1 inhibitor. There was a signal in a study from Germany 10 years ago, and it might have significant effects, but it's not dead. But the principle of PDE1 inhibition is not dead. If you can get a better drug and a nice trial showing, because it's PD. If we assume that the therapeutic effect is related to the amount of PDE in the bladder, it should be PDE1 that is the most effective one. PDE4 has been developed for asthma indications. The problem there was that people vomited too much. So if that problem could be solved, there is a potential for PDE4 inhibitors also to be useful, at least as useful as PDE5 inhibitors on this indication.
Beta-3 works through adenylate cyclase.
Pardon?
Beta-3 works through adenylate cyclase, and it can be its action.
Yeah, well, that's debatable if it only works to beta.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, 3 and 4, PDE3 and 4 should have an effect on that.
Yeah, but you know, if you use PDE3 inhibitors, you will seriously affect heart rate, and not only heart rate but arrhythmias. So I don't think that's a possible way. It has been tried as antiarrhythmic drugs with, well, disaster results.
Paul?
I mean, you've sort of confused us, really, haven't you?
Yeah,
you've given us far too many options. But can I just alight on one of your remarks that perhaps it's unrealistic to expect a single drug to sort out something like OAB. So how hard should we be pushing for trials of combinations, and should we be stopping at 2 drugs? Should we be going to 3? Would this make the studies too difficult to do, and would we be in danger then of ending up with 3 lots of side effects which mitigated against the additive effect of 3 benefits?
Yeah, I think we should apply common sense here. First, we have to show that the individual components actually can have an effect, at least on a subpopulation of OAB patients. And that means that we have to demonstrate first, if we are going to use, for example, EP1 receptor antagonist, that the EP1 receptor antagonist actually work. If we want to use this small molecule TRPV1 receptor antagonist, do they work by themselves? Then we can start discussing combinations. We know that PDE5 inhibitors work, alpha blockers work, and so on. And you can always find a rationale for such a combination. But I think that there is no real good rationale that one single combination among all those I listed should be better than the other.
Please.
Colleric, you focus largely on the afferent and the bladder. What about central efferent, like pontine, micturition center, where dopaminergic?
Yeah, you saw I listed at least 5-6 different principles working at the CNS but we don't know at what level of the CNS, if it works directly on the micturition center or where it works. But you know that spinal morphine is the most effective way of blocking the micturition reflex. But we can't use morphine and analog therapeutically on this indication because the dose response curve is too steep. The drug concentration, the drug dose that affects the bladder is so close to do well to the dose that completely blocks it. So it's impossible. So we have to have some modification of the mu effect to use it clinically, and tramadol is one way. I don't know if there are other possibilities. I know that those some drugs that have been used in pain treatment have nice effects also on bladder activity.
Thank you for a very nice overview, Eric. You just said for one therapeutic agent, maybe for a subgroup of OAB patients, should we not go to a way to divide our patients and to see which treatment is for which patient the right one? And is there also a possibility to go back to clinical trials and to see whether we can have indications on which patients it worked and on which patients it didn't, based on current knowledge?
Yeah, well, there is always in all trials responders and non-responders, but as far as I know, there have been no systematic analysis of the responder non-responder profile in the different trials that have been performed. And I think that could be an interesting way of looking at it, because we have no marker that can predict who is responding to which drug. So I think we are still at the stage of trial and error. But we have many possibilities now, not only anti-muscarinics.
Yep, at the back.
Carl Eric, I just want to know what your views are on c-KIT receptor inhibitors, which kind of block, like imatinib, which blocked the activity of interstitial cells, because there was no mention of it in your talk.
No, I didn't take up. It's a sister cystostatic drug. I think it's a little too, let's say, dramatic to use such drugs that actually can reduce the number of interstitial cells, at least in animal models. And it hasn't been definitely proven that there is an upregulation of c-KIT positive cells in overactivity. There are some indications from Alison Brading's group, but it has not been confirmed by other groups as far as I know. And there are also indications what's the name of the drug? Can reduce the number of interstitial cells and also improve overactivity in animal models. But since the drug is used for malignant diseases mainly, I don't think there is a future for it in OAB, for example.
Carl. I'm going to take three more because then we need to move on. At the back here. And
hi, Carl. It's Michael Oefflein. Hi. So the idea of combining drugs with different or complementary mechanisms of action is certainly intriguing, but it begs the fundamental question, what population are you going to study? How are you going to identify responders? What biomarkers could be used to achieve those goals? And most importantly, and remind everyone in the group that the regulatory pathway for combination drugs requires drug A plus drug B have to be synergistic and show complementary efficacy and increased efficacy with no alteration of adverse events. That's a difficult, very difficult regulatory hurdle to achieve, and it has to be understood as a fundamental barrier.
Mm. I think you're right. There are two main hurdles, I think. One is to have approval of new combinations, and it's quite complicated to perform studies actually proving what you are saying. The other is, of course, the economical issue. I think that dampens at least the enthusiasm for any combination.
Go ahead.
Just a quick comment. In regards to combinations, I mean, for example, if you have a myogenic overactivity that's driven by some response from the urothelium, you can inhibit that with an antimuscarinic at lower concentrations than if you had to inhibit, for example, the receptors on smooth muscle. So in that case, that type of drug might, that type of pathology might succumb to a lower.
Yeah, well, if antimuscarinics in low concentrations actually work on the detrusor muscle, it could very well work on other sites in the bladder.
But in that case, you could use a lower concentration, which would be effective for that myogenic overactivity, and then another drug that may work on some other central
muscle. Yeah, well, that's the general principle, that you should have synergistic effects, and that you should have lower doses of both drugs to actually gain something.
Colin.
If the antimuscarinics were such great drugs, we wouldn't be looking at all these potential options. And probably the next one we're going to get on the market is going to be the beta-3s. Do you think it'll be as good as? Do you think it'll be better than in some ways? And why are we looking at combinations from the outset rather than looking at perhaps a new drug which may be beneficial? We know the downsides of antimuscarinics, because we're all familiar with them.
Yeah, since this is a multifactorial drug, I think that any drug that works will work to a certain level, because it doesn't hit everybody. And it would be interesting to see if antimuscarinics and beta-3 receptor agonists actually work on the same patients. Otherwise, we have some possibilities to actually find out that there are different mechanisms in those who respond to beta-3 receptor agonist and those who react or respond to antimuscarinics. And of course, if you have a combination from the start, you could, and there are two different responder populations, you should expect to increase efficacy. You hit more in the general population, of course.
Will the side effect profile be better?
Yeah, well, I think you should ask Case to comment on that.
Do you want to make a comment?
I can make a very brief comment. The brief comment I would like to make is that the side effect profile is at least different. So
makes you feel better if you get a headache instead of a dry mouth.
Don't be too pessimistic.
Thank you very much, Carl Eric. We're going to move on now to our last session and our second proposal.